16th, 2010. It's 6 p.m., hands up. So, Mr. Coxey, if you will please establish a quorum, please.
Mark Blackwell.
Here.
Rick Caudill.
Here.
Randall Cummings.
Here.
Ray Edwards.
Here.
Sarah Kleinfelter.
Here.
Sean Pingleton. Frank Preston.
Here.
Susan Martin.
Here.
Carl Pride.
Here.
Madam Chairman, we do have a quorum.
Yes, we do. Again, if you'll move on and explain the procedures for public hearing.
These are the Taney County Planning Commission public hearing procedures. Public hearings are required and governed by the Taney County Development Guidance Code and are held on each Division 3 application, which is filed with the Taney County Planning Commission staff. The Taney County Development Guidance Code is Exhibit A. The staff report for each case is Exhibit B, and the staff file including all pertinent information for each case is Exhibit C for all cases to be heard at the public hearing. A staff report for each request will be read to the commission, followed by a video and any questions for staff. If you would like to comment at the public hearing, you must sign the sheet which is provided at the front of the room. Registration for comment will cease before the hearing begins. When it is your opportunity for comment, your name will be called. Please walk to the podium at the front of the room to address the commission. All comments and questions are to be addressed to the Planning Commission, not to anyone in the audience. The Planning Commission may allow further comment. At the conclusion of public comments, the public hearing on each request will be closed. The regular meeting of the Planning Commission will be held 1 week after the public hearing. The projects will be reviewed and voted on by the Commission at that meeting. The regular meeting is an open meeting. However, no additional public comments shall be taken unless expressly requested by the Commission. And you may leave after your case has been heard.
Okay, thank you very much. If you'll hand me the sheets, we'll move into the public hearing part of the meeting tonight. First item on the agenda is Sunset Hills, and this deals with a lot split. So, Eddie, if you again will read the staff report on this project.
This is the Taney County Planning Commission Division 3 staff report for Sunset Hills lot, Sunset Hills split of lot number 12, dated September 13, 2010, case number 10-17. This is the public hearing of Sunset Hills lot split of lot 12 in the Oliver Township, Section 18, Township 22, Range 21. The applicant, Ivan West, Jr., requests approval to split lot 12 of Sunset Hills subdivision. History is that it was approved for concept on August 16, 2010. General description, the subject property contains less than 1 acre. The adjoining properties to the request consist of commercial and residential. Review, the proposed site consists of a residential structure and a commercial building. The property is serviced by city sewer and community water. The project received a minus 30 on the policy checklist out of a possible 59. Policies receiving a negative score consist of roads, use compatibility, buffering, and waste disposal. If the Taney County Planning Commission approves this project, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the Planning Commission. Number one, compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code that include plans for the following. A, sediment and erosion control. B, stormwater management. C, land grading permits. D, delineation of the 100-year floodplain. E, utility easements and building line setbacks. F, foliage screening or fencing for commercial areas that adjoin residential tracts. G, improvements with scale of buildings, streets, on-site parking, and utilities. Number two, compliance letters from the fire, sewer, and water districts. Number three, no outside storage of equipment or solid waste materials. Number four, the decision is subject to all existing easements. Number five, Division 2 permits will be required for any applicable structures in the development. And number six, the decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder's Office within 120 days, or this approval shall expire.
Okay.
Okay. And
so, that's what I was going to ask for, was the map. Okay.
This is down past the Hollister area, McDonald's and all that. 165, of course, you can tell this is an old picture. This has been closed off now and everything, but it go down the road here to where I made a statement the last time. There used to be a sign there about the WB, had a frog on the sign and everything. If you remember where that area is, like it was a television station, and you turn in there and go back here and here to the back of this. Go ahead and look at the next one. This is the bigger side here. At one time, this property was owned by Mr. West, and now it's this one. So the road comes down to here, and this is the commercial building here, and then this is where Mr. West lives at this present time. And then this is how he's wanting to split this off. This would be the building out front here. This would be the road coming down that you saw, because it's turned a little bit different than the previous, and this would be the lot that would be with the residential structure on it. Okay. You got video?
Got video.
This is the last structure. You can see that here on the street. And we're standing as you approach this structure coming down the road. This is on the left here. But this is the commercial building here. I'll swing around and kind of give you a picture of the neighborhood. There are some other houses down in this area. That is the road leading into there. And there it is, sunset. And of course, the more you pan out, the harder it gets to stay. So that's just the next thing. I'm going back around, coming up to, again, this was Mr. Westhouse. We're going to get it from the other side here, too. So this would be the building that we want to make the sidewalk split off, and then the residential structure. And this is the residential structure here in the back. So. And that's about all there is to say, Dan.
And again, he is asking to split off the commercial property in case he wanted to sell that separate and apart from the residential property. Is that
yes,
correct?
Ma'am. That okay. would be my understanding. And then you can go ahead and stop that and bring up the, if you'll bring the plat back up, if you don't mind, sir.
Okay. Two people have signed up to speak. Mr. West, the applicant, is the first person who has signed up. But we have Leanne Dennison, who is the second person. And Ms. Dennison, you might want to come forward, introduce yourself, and tell us what your considerations are. And then we'll have Mr. West do his thing after. Okay?
Hello. I'm Leanne Dennison. I live right next door. When he showed the picture, there's a house to the left. Yeah.
This one?
Yes, that's our property. Yeah, it used to be connected to Jim West. My questions are the streets. If this were to sell to another company, is it going to be the same type of business? We have multiple semis that come up our road, and there is a lot of erosion. There's no county services for the road, and it is in a really disrepair. It's ruining everybody's cars. So that's one of my concerns, is it going to be more traffic with large semis? Also, the stormwater, and this is probably a personal rather than the business, from his home going through our yard, the wastewater is going through. So that's a concern also of mine.
Okay, now are you talking about stormwater?
Stormwater.
Or wastewater?
Stormwater.
Okay.
I'm sorry, stormwater.
Got it.
Yes.
Okay.
I said waste. I'm sorry. Yes. And that was my only two concerns, was
okay.
the road and the stormwater.
Okay.
This business is... been there for a while, so this is a pre-existing business.
And the current business in that building is?
It deals with drilling, and Mr. West will need to tell you that. I'm thinking drilling along the lines of like water wells and things like that.
Okay.
It's not...
So it's equipment storage, and he operates...
And he, yeah, he can explain
the business out of that building?
Yeah, okay. I don't know how much traffic is in and out of there or anything, but like I say, it was a pre-existing
okay.
building. That's why... you know, we're not asking to approve the usage or anything, just, you know, split the lot off. Usually, for anything to go in there, different would need to come back for mm-hmm. Division 3 because there was not originally a Division 3, and we've got a project like that tonight for you.
Right.
I haven't spoke to the issue of what if somebody bought it and wanted to do something
right.
different there.
Because my understanding is that it's not immediately for sale, but Mr. West, you might want to come forward then, please.
Start off with, it is not for sale.
Okay.
It will not be for sale. It's going to go into the family.
Okay.
Far as the road is concerned, I maintain it for the last 23 years. We've tried to get the county to take it over with no success. So the road has been maintained by me for the last 23 years. Mm-hmm. And as far as getting any help from the community, mm-hmm. it's not existing pretty much. Once mm-hmm. in a while, they'll pay for a little bit of rock rather than that.
Mm-hmm. But it's a private road.
It is a private road.
And is it a road for the, is that a subdivision? Is that
it
a planted
subdivision?
It is
a main road coming into the subdivision.
Okay.
Back last year, I brought my backhoe in there and spent 3 days up there digging out the ditch mm-hmm. to keep the water off of the road, mm-hmm. which I did all that normally at my expense.
Yeah. May I ask a question? Are you talking Sunset or Jimco? Which road have you been maintaining?
Sunset Drive.
Okay.
In fact, I maintain it all up there. Maintain Jimco Drive and also the Jimco Drive.
Is there an active property owners association?
No.
Okay. And that could be part of the problem.
That is part of
okay.
the problem.
Okay.
To try to get something like that established at this point in the game is non-existent.
Okay.
As far as the community well, now that I've also put in. In fact, in 2007, I put in a large storage tank and upgraded the pump system and all this. It's, I think, $5,000 of my own money mm-hmm. in order to have water for up there.
Okay. So. One of the questions, because when we saw the map of the subdivision of that particular building off from the acre land, what is the size of that new lot that's being created?
It becomes 0.7 acres.
Okay. Which raises the question of sewage, 0.7 acres.
It's on public sewer.
So it's on public sewer.
Otherwise, we wouldn't be bringing this to you.
Okay, okay. That was my question. Okay. Okay.
And then this lot here is a little over, almost 10,000 feet. Of course, our minimum lot size is 8,000 to 70-foot of frontage.
Okay.
And this is formed like this to give the 75-foot of frontage on this one.
Okay. Anything else that you want to say, Mr. West? Any other questions from the members of the commission for Mr. West?
I'm glad to answer. I can.
Mr. West, the purpose of the lot split?
Like I said before, get my affairs in order. Someday this will go on to my family. Okay. The business I started up 28 years ago, and I have a son that may be coming in. I'm hoping.
Thank you.
I'm getting the age that I need some relief here.
I don't know if I dismissed this or not, but Mr. West, if you could tell us about your hours and days of operation, also the amount of traffic that's in and out of there, either through delivery trucks or whatever the case might be, or people coming in, just how that kind of works.
We sell drilling supplies, and we ship all over the Midwest. We do have our material that's brought in on semis, and we may have one or two semis a day. We have UPS comes up there once a day, 5 days a week. And really our operations are Monday through Thursday. Time-wise, but from 8 to 5 or whatever.
Okay.
But, all of our stuff is heavy enough it has to be brought in on semis.
So it's a small private operation.
Right.
Okay. We understand the nature of the business then. Okay, Mr. West, I think that's it. Thank you very much.
Okay, great.
Let's move on to the next project, Tri-Lakes Motors.
This is the Taney County Planning Commission Division 3 staff report for the Tri-Lakes Motors dated September 13th, 2010, case number 01-18. And before I start into this, as always, my question would be, do you want the summary read on all of these? Or
not unless there's significant difference.
Okay. This is a public hearing for two showrooms in the Branson Township, Section 9, Township 23, Range 21. The applicant, Dave Williams, requests approval for two new car showrooms. History is it's proof of concept on August 16, 2010. General description, the subject property contains approximately 16.71 acres. The adjoining properties to the request consist of commercial. The proposed site will consist of two 100 by 100 buildings. The property is serviced by individual sewer and water. The project received a positive 17 on the policy checklist of a possible 75. Policies receiving a negative score consist of building bulk and scale, emergency water, and compatibility. Summary is as mentioned before, with the decision of record being filed in the Taney County Recorder's Office within 120 days. In the past probably 2 years, this particular location, the dealership has approached us a couple times to expand, and we have no reason not to expand, but there is no Division III on this project giving us any kind of guidelines as to how much, too much, or anything like that. So on the last expansion, which was the addition, it was an addition onto an already existing building, we didn't have any problem with that. But we did ask the developer if he would mind coming in and getting approval, a Division III approval for future expansion, so that we have a good record to go back and say, you know, here we are and here's what's going on. He did agree to do that, and that's why he's here before you. So some of these things that I've read to you just recently, dealing with building bulk and scale and everything like that, they fit with the business that's out there. It's not an issue or anything like that. It's just to try and clean up most of the things here, and in the future, as business is going well, he will want to add some more showrooms and things like that. So I just wanted to have a clear picture of that, and that's kind of where we're headed here.
Okay.
And everything. So most of you know this is Trout Lakes Ford, of course, this is the area here, as we mentioned before. Look a little closer, Dan. And of course, it's a car lot now, and of course, this is an old picture. There's an RV right in this area here, a new building that's up there for RV repair. Which building was it that we just added on to, Dan? You remember?
No, they just got the permit.
So we added on to that.
The next RV. Drawing, I believe, will show
that. Okay. So, just to kind of let you know, we're just trying to get a good picture of what's going on here. Go ahead and go to the next one, Dan. So this is the layout of what would be going on in the future. This was a future showroom here, and this was the addition here, Dan. Is that what that was? So basically, this is how it would lay out. And here's some of your existing buildings out here already. I mean, it's not coming out here anymore or anything like that. But just so that when he comes back to us, because we normally limit by a number of buildings, number of units, that kind of thing like that. Just wanted to know that he knows that he can't expand. He would have to get his Division II permit as he goes on. Got a video for me?
Yes, sir.
Now, if y'all buy anything while we're out here, I do get a commission. See that Mustang?
The Mustang.
So, most of you are probably familiar with this site. I don't know how much you've been down in there or anything like that, but we're not gonna spend a whole lot of time. We will drive you down into the back of this just a little bit. Of course, it's right on the frontage road there, Lost Tree Apartments, over here just a little further, Highway 65. Like I say, already a thriving business there, or it appears to be thriving. With today's economy, I don't know. But this is just kind of what you can see out there. A little washed out, it looks like. So we're going to drive you down. I cleaned the window. I didn't dry it, but I cleaned it. So we're going to take you down here to where the RV building is so you can just kind of get a look at the property.
So you're going to show us where the potential two buildings will be.
We're going to go back to that here in just a second. Hey. Will you drive? Of course, this is their repair facility back that already exists here and everything like that. And then over in this area here is where they've done something. Come on. I can't believe we went this slow. There we go. And this was this new RV repair and everything.
Maybe a year ago. ago?
Yes, I believe just about a year ago. So if you'll keep that in mind, when we'll bring up that plat again for you, so you can see that this is the collision center. And then Dan, if you'll bring the plat back up.
This building and this building would be the future, and this would be the addition.
Right. Now, this is where the RV is? Right.
No, it wouldn't. It's not included in this one.
Okay.
This is, it should be back down in here.
So this, and we'll let them describe to you a little bit better, but this is going to be on the existing now. I mean, it's not, like I say, it's not going to be expanding way, way far out or anything like that. So it will stay pretty close together. But probably what we should do is let the developer.
Okay. No one has signed up, but Mr. Williams, okay. Why don't you come forward and answer some of the questions that we might have?
Mr. Williams, there's a corner up there.
Okay.
Hit the red button then.
Hello.
Hi. I'm Dave Williams. Any questions?
You may want to elaborate on some of the issues on the map. The two new showrooms that you're talking about are there, and where is the RV repair that's just gone in?
Yeah, that's what I was having trouble trying to read that also. So if you will, if you'll just kind of locate it on that and then point it out for them.
Right here.
Okay.
And this is a proposed building. This is a proposed building. This is the body repair right now, and we're looking to start a auto body repair shop there after the first of the year. So this is the proposed. This is proposed. This is under permit right now. That's the building we built last year.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Questions for Mr. Williams?
Are there no public sewer systems in that area?
I don't think there is.
Is that right?
I don't think. I think Lost Tree Apartments. I mean, the closest one would be Bull Creek. Bull Creek Village is down the road from them and everything. But I believe even the Lost Tree Apartments is using their own treatment plant.
I'm just surprised that there wasn't, because
this area back in here on Summerbrook, this is under Bull Creek's sewer back in this area, I know. Now, how far it goes up, whether it catches apartments or anything, I don't know, but this subdivision is in Bull Creek sewer district.
But up in this area, there is not right now that I'm aware of.
If, because, and again, Eddie, please explain, Mr. Williams is asking for Division 3 process into the future, right?
In the future, and okay. This may never happen.
Right.
But to save him some hassle of coming back, because we're getting a little antsy about approving buildings out here without any clear-cut Division 3 or anything like that, with the possibility of expanding out and closer to neighborhoods and things like that. We suggested to Mr. Williams that he go ahead and request this future expansion.
So hence the auto body thing.
Well, the auto body is the one he showed you there. He mentioned it's already under permit because it is an addition to an existing building. So well, I'm okay with that.
Okay.
That building exists. He's going to expand that and expand the use of it. But to start putting up new buildings, as we did with the RV building, we feel like we're taking a little bit of liberties that we don't have the right to do.
Okay.
But there's no clear-cut Division 3 at all.
Correct.
Should have been one somewhere, I think. It was built after planning and zoning took effect, but we can't find anything in any records that any of that was there. So, but it was right on the right at the turn when they started planning and zoning, so some, you know, we run across this occasionally.
Okay, but let's talk about how far into the future. So, Mr. Williams, beyond the buildings that you're dealing with right now, what might you be looking at?
Well, this is a large Ford and Chrysler agency that's headquartered in Little Rock called Landers. And when I first came to Eddie about the body shop, he was saying, well, if we would have to go to a phase three, we'd take several months to get this through the process. And so he recommended that we go ahead and get something in your file that represents phase three so that it would be you would have a chance to voice your opinions now. And then, unfortunately, sometimes these larger companies they make a decision, they're ready to go. In this body shop, or they're waiting on a contract with some auto body repair insurance group, and they're just crossing T's and dotting I's right now. The auto body should start after the first of the year. Okay. But for some bookkeeping that they've requested, that's why I'm here, just to get you guys to get a chance to have your opinions on the record. They have no current plan, but here again, they've got one of the products that we hear a lot of public publicity about, Ford. Mm-hmm. And so you never know about these people and exactly what their long-range 2011 plan or 2012. They just called me last year and said, we need to go into RV repair. Mm-hmm. We moved forward, and we're now talking about an auto body shop. I think it is going to bring us 6 additional jobs to the area for the RV, the auto body, the RV, I think, brought 2 additional jobs over there. So, I mean, everybody's always thinking about jobs in this day and time, and that has some impact there.
Okay. Any other questions for Mr. Williams?
This particular type of business has a lot of impervious cover, as you'll notice, but where he's talking about putting the buildings would not create more, I guess what I want you to know. And that's where it starts getting iffy for us to make the call.
Right, and I was looking at that 19-acre tract of land.
Mr. Williams does get caught kind of in the middle, like we need this, we really need you to start last week. And then, you know, for him to come to us and say, we can't even think about it for 60 to 90 days, that's why he's here.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Well, let's move on. Thank you, Mr. Williams. We'll see you next week. Let's move on to the third project for the evening, the Alsop Vacation Cabin.
Give me just a second here. This is the Taney County Planning Commission Division 3 staff report for the Alsop Vacation Cabin, dated September 13, 2010, case number 10-19. This is the public hearing for a vacation cabin in the Branson Township, Section 12, Township 22, Range 22. The applicant, Thomas Alsop, requests approval to rent an existing structure as a nightly rental, and this is coming to you as a special use permit. History is that it was approved for concept on August 16, 2010. General description, the subject property contains about 1.78 acres. The adjoining properties to the request consist of residential and, what we're told, another vacation rental. The proposed site will consist of an existing residence with 2 efficiency apartments and a 3-car garage with 1 efficiency apartment. The property is serviced by central sewer and water. The project received a positive 15 score on the policy checklist out of a possible 65. Policies receiving a negative score consist of use compatibility, traffic, and waste disposal. Summaries as mentioned before, and decision to be filed with the Taney County Recorder's Office within 120 days or the approval will expire.
Okay.
As you know, about a year and a half ago, we added a section to our code book to deal with nightly rentals to make sure that as these came to our attention that we had a provision to either approve or deny these. It was put under our special use provision. Making it particular to the applicant or the owner of this and to this site where this exists. This is of course, with special use does not imply any kind of commercial compatibility or anything like that. It doesn't require anything like that. On some of our special use, such as our bed and breakfast, we require an on-site proprietor that lives there with our nightly rentals. That is not one of the requirements. I'm pointing all this out for you with the understanding that on special use, you have some, I don't want you to get the requirements confused, but you do have the right with special use to impose requirements that you feel are necessary as we go through this. This is on Foggy River Road, and if you'll remember, most of Foggy River Road, especially in this area here, is not only in the floodplain, it is a floodway. In a floodway, no substantial development allowed. So these people that live along here without very, very limited, not supposed to be any substantial building additions, any really changes, any major kind of changes or anything to the structures down in there. And the way Tandy County operates, we wouldn't, as long as they didn't change the footprint, if they wanted to change their outside siding, if they wanted to remodel the inside or something like that, we would not have an issue. But if they came and wanted to build, we would not be able to issue under our FEMA guidelines a construction permit in there without an engineer no-rise certificate. And you remember we've done one of those and how long it took for the lady to get through that. So there is a possibility of something like that happening, but this is a pretty sensitive area as far as planning and zoning is concerned and with our FEMA and our floodplain areas. This would be the property here. It fronts right on the lake, and you go ahead and go to make a bigger version of that dam. If you'll remember, we discussed this a little bit. There is a fence around this place. Now, this is chain link here, and there's a gate in here. This is a wall here. You'll be able to see that in just a minute. This is the garage area. This is the house, and the house kind of has a common area, and then it looks like two living areas on each side. I have not been in the house, so I can't really tell you too much about it. We did discuss with the owner last time that he was here. He talked about a little gravel bar where you could, he put a small boat or something in, and that does exist there. We did walk down to there, you know, about putting the boat in or anything, I couldn't say, but this property does have direct access to the water. We have a few pictures there. This, of course, let's back up. Of course, it is gated, and then you can't see that. You'll be able to see it on the video, but this is a solid wall here and here. So let's show them the video. We'll try to walk you around this thing so you can see it. Of course, being the garage and the efficiency department that's in there. One time around the block real fast.
The for sale sign was in front of what property?
It is in front of this property.
Okay. So this property is for sale.
And a lot of people that want, a couple of people have called me on this property asking what they could build and what they could do. And so that kind of has been explained. Not totally unheard of that you might be able to build something new, but the probability would be very expensive. So we're inside the gate now. I want to take some time here to walk you around this. Again, you know, this is a... Office of the walking all the way down there, but I bet we didn't. So. the chain link fence I was mentioning to you is right down in this area here. Okay, we'll probably just swing back and see the back side of this. That's the house next door. This is the boat dock here that is, I'm guessing, part of this house. Because you walk right off this property and you come out of that boat dock. So we're going to take you down here and give you a shot real quick and then we'll turn this off. This is the back of the house. And coming up, this is the area right here. Where they live at, is it right there? Yeah, he said there was a gravel wire that you could put. I believe that it didn't. Yeah. And of course, this is the back of the garage here. And let's see, Dan.
This is a long video.
It is, but you know, there's always a lot of questions when we deal with this kind of a property and everything. So,
okay.
I wanted you to have a good view of it.
Thank you.
And it's a pleasant walk.
Move on to people who wish to speak. Mr. Getch, how nice to see you and your wife, Emmy, out there. Laverne Getch, please. Identify yourself, and you might want to indicate your proximity to this property.
Will do. I also have... I understand there's several letters have come in from others, and I have one here if I'd like to include.
Okay.
I may be representing more people here than I know, but for your further identification of that property, just dawned on me. This was the property that Johnny Morris had in between marriages. And the duplex we're talking about was actually his guest house. And my wife and I, Emma Jean, we live at 334 Foggy River Road. We're two houses, well, there's two houses between us and this property. We bought our property in 1984, and we built our house there in 1990 and moved there. And at both of those decision times, we were very clearly assured that this was totally a residential property, and we expected it to remain that way. For ourselves, we oppose this rezoning. Several of my neighbors and so forth are worried about or have complained about the traffic. That is a very narrow road that goes by there. Actually, it can get muddy and people get off of it. There's a lot of noise comes out of that, and so it's just more and more confusion that we don't really need. My own concern and bigger one right now is that this rezoning this property for commercial use would perhaps set a precedence and open the door. There are at least five properties on the waterfront of Tanticomo in our own division that are for sale. Any of these people now that are having trouble selling a house in this market could come to the same conclusion. And that concerns me because housing problems like we have right now are terminal. I mean, they're not going to last forever. And but if we open that door, it could very well last forever, and we could have another resort or two over there. Actually, there's four more properties, empty properties that haven't sold, that I suppose somebody could want to do something with as well. With that, I'm also here to represent the 20-plus property owners of the Riverside Estates Boat Launch Association. When this property was developed, it was developed by Clay Cantwell, a local attorney. And Clay established at the time that he developed this property some covenants for this. The first covenants were written or published in 1st of February 1973. And those were for the numbered blocks in this subdivision. In 15 July of 1981, he established, he revised those and established some new, or those covenants for the blocks A, B, C, and D. And then he amended those in 14 August of 1981. The first revision was to, for one of the things the first revision did was to increase the square footage of any house allowed in the subdivision. The second one was to spoke to the docks, having our docks, and what we would have to do to get them and have them approved. Clay was pretty much a one-man committee in this whole process. He reviewed every plan that was built in the early times. You know Clay, I think. And he looked after, he mothered this in a way. And so we were always assured that this was going to be right. And he did that. He checked everything for approval. And as he aged and as the development went along, he became a little less involved, And finally, I would say, and I think he retired in 2005, excuse me, that actually he had not policed or any of these covenants for that period, for a period of time. So that opened the door for some of this rental business. There were others in the subdivision that noticed some of this going on, but still we didn't feel like we really had the authority to go out and do something. What is happening now in our subdivision is that this Riverside Boat Launch Association was established in 2005. And to date, it's been formed for two common properties in the area. The boat launch, and then there's a park property. And that both of these were basically what this association was formed to provide the rules and for those two properties. What we now realize very definitely is that we need a homeowners association, totally. Clay tried to tell us that several times. We didn't listen to him, and now we're sorry. And our intent now is to reform this association and rename it as truly Association for All Homeowners. There are approximately 200 homeowners in this Riverside Estates. Our intent again, is to actively involve every property owner we can get them to sign up and become a part of this and become participate in the government or the governance of this property, which we think we need badly. Okay. One of our primary goals in that will be to form a committee to oversee the protective covenants and to bring to the association any and all requested variances for our consideration. And as for the variances concerning rezoning, I'm really not sure who has the final say, you or our covenants, but I just want to plead that we can hopefully work together.
Let me clarify something.
Yes.
Right off the top here. The request is coming to us as a special use permit, and I'll explain what that is in a minute. We are not involved with rezoning from residential to commercial. A special use permit is limited to the owner of the property, and it allows him, in this case, to do nightly rental or a bed and breakfast or an in-home occupation of some kind. Excuse me. It goes with the owner of the property. It does not change the zoning of the property at all. So your concern that this will cause a domino effect is not a real concern, because this is not that kind of rezoning from residential to commercial. So I hope that allays some of your fears.
Yes,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. The other issue is the issue of the boat dock, and I understand that that is a private boat dock that, and you're saying, is controlled and administered by two properties down there?
No. I'm talking about a boat launch.
That's the one boat launch.
That
one that's around the corner.
No, that's a separate property.
They have
okay.
They have a park and they have a boat launch area.
Okay.
And that's the two
okay.
properties.
Yeah.
Mentioned.
Okay.
But it's controlled by their boat launch association that they have.
Okay, and so that's not really an issue connected to this, but you certainly are to be commended to create the Property Owners Association so that you can prevent issues that would no doubt arise in the future. So, okay. Does that help?
It helps me. I'm not sure
okay.
about my friend.
Okay. Well, let's go on and see if we may.
Okay.
Okay. Any other comments, Mr. Getz?
Not really.
Okay. Then let's move on.
Before Mr.
Okay.
Getz steps away, let me just make this one. Your homeowners association would have the right to set up some rules and regulations, of course. And those rules and regulations that you would set up would be enforced by your homeowner association through the civil court system and everything. It would still require, if anybody wanted to do anything like this or changes on anything, that they appear before this board. In other words, your homeowner association doesn't have the right to supersede Taney County's authority. It can be a little stricter, and Taney County might would approve something like this, but if you have an active homeowner association that already has stated against that, you would then take that to civil court. We don't enforce those rules and regulations. We understand they exist. But we don't enforce those, and because you have them doesn't mean that we won't consider a project anyway. So, but for them to come and get a variance from you and then to start doing it, they still haven't fulfilled their obligation with the county.
Okay.
So, Mr. Getz, thank you very much, and I'm delighted to see you too. Let me call to the podium Kathy Joy. Hello.
Hi there. My name is Kathy Joy. I live two doors down from the property. I'm kind of in between Emma and Vern and this property. I brought copies of our Riverside Estates CCNRs. I made some extra copies if you'd like to have them. My concerns, I wasn't real clear on that, what you were just talking to Vern about, that it is a
special use
permit,
right. Uh-huh.
And it doesn't pertain to actually changing the zoning into right. commercial or business. And that was a real concern of mine. The CCNR state very clearly that it can't be changed, and a majority vote of all the homeowners, of all the lots, people that own the lots, be there if it's going to be changed. Given that, there is concern, Vern did mention that the road is very narrow. It's difficult for two cars to pass each other without slowing way down and pulling way over. And I have seen cars in the ditch there. And I was worried that it would also open up other people to possibly doing the same type of business. And with the economy as distressed as it is, other people would be wanting to rent their properties on a nightly basis as well. And that would then bring additional people through the neighborhood, and it's just really not that kind of a neighborhood. It's a dead-end road. It's very large, high-end custom homes for the most part through there. It would be different if it was off of Acacia Club somewhere where there's a larger, the road is wider, and there's a stripe down the center, and there's other commercial properties. I think that's mostly what I wanted to say. I did cite some places in the CCNRs where it says that no lot shall be used in whole or part for any commercial use. I understand there is that difference there, but it's hard for a homeowner sitting there thinking, well, yeah, that's a business. Whether you want to call it commercial or not, that's a business to us. It was important enough for me to drive 7 hours to be here for the meeting. And the CCNRs state that just because you've been doing nightly rentals and just because somebody else in the neighborhood may be doing nightly rentals, that our CCNRs are very clear that just because you've been doing that doesn't mean that you can continue to do it or that you can change our CCNRs to allow that.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay, Kathy, thank you very much. Where'd you drive from?
I came from southeast Oklahoma, Idabel.
Okay. Let me move on then to Jean St. Peter.
Good evening. My name is Jean St. Peter, and I live at 180 Groton Street, which is two streets up from the actual residence that wants to be for the special use. Again, I am pleasantly surprised and pleased that it is a special use, but we can interchange what I was saying for commercial with this special use, because what Vern pointed out, with those four and five other houses along that same area, because they are high-end houses and they're hard to sell, if they decide to put in a special use, you have four or five other people there. When my husband and I moved here, we owned this property since 1988. We built a home in 1996 after we both retired from the Army. Most of the people, my parents actually moved down here back in, I believe, 78. So they've seen a lot of the growth there because it was just the Wolf Farm at one time when Clay took it over. But that's why just about everybody down there bought their homes there. It was a residential area. It's quiet. It's calm. It has right now, because we do have businesses that are opening up down Acacia Club and then coming in from Iowa Colony, we're kind of caught in the middle. We're a little buffer zone, and we'd like to keep that little buffer zone as a residential area. It's bad enough because of the traffic on both ends of Acacia Club and Iowa Colony. But coming through, and it's supposed to be 25 miles an hour. Most of the people that live there requested that. That's what we wanted. The people that don't live there that just come in and out, very seldom will you see them going 25 miles an hour. Having special use just even in the one place, there's a few things that needs to be considered. Again, if I slip and say commercial, it's because that's what I really originally wrote was commercialized zone. It does bring up some security concerns. They showed you that there is a wall around there, but very seldom is that gate closed. It's usually open because the people go in and out several times a day because they're in Branson visiting, then they go back down maybe to eat or whatever. Besides the traffic, the road down there is very good, but the roads leading into there aren't, only because of budget cuts and things, and we haven't been able to have the surrounding roads all done. For example, like my road has not been done in the last 10 years because of budget constraints. If we're going to have more traffic on that road, which is already a problem because of previously mentioned narrowness, the roads that are already in bad condition are naturally going to get worse. The security concerns, again, with unknown people coming into our neighborhood, we don't need to ask for any more trouble. Even if there's the slightest possibility that our security is threatened, we need to be concerned about it. A special use, if I said that I would like to have a special use for my home to work out of my home to make arts and crafts or to start a dog kennel or a cat kennel, you know, it's the same thing. It's a special use. It's not commercial. And one thing I do have a question is, can it be passed on through a trust? When you're saying it's only the owner, you know, when the owner quits owning that property, what if I have my property in a trust and I pass it on to someone, you know, in that trust? It's my family. Does that special use stay? No?
I don't
particular
believe,
to the applicant.
I think it is particular and specific to the person who has made the application. So you can't will it to someone. In
okay.
A sense.
That was one of my questions. Again, I want to thank you for your time and consideration. Several people that couldn't make it tonight did ask me, and I added some notes that they asked me to say, that they don't want to have more traffic. It could lead to more accidents involving not only vehicles but pedestrians, including our children. We don't need more wear and tear on the roads that currently aren't in the best of shape because of the budget constraints. And a lot of people think that people living in Riverside Estates, years ago it was a lot of just retirees. 4 or 5 years ago, before when there was still a boom going on in the area, a lot of young families came here, and there's a lot of children that play in the streets or cross the street. I shouldn't say play in the street, but they do. They skateboard. They go all over the place. So these are all just concerns, whether we call it commercial or special use. I'm still very much concerned. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Jean Raymond. Hello.
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
I'm fine. Good to see you.
That's good. This is going to be short. I live down in Riverside Estates. I had bought land there in 1974. And then we built the house, started it in 1978, and finished it in 1979 and moved in. And the covenant down there said there will be no businesses. This is all residential. And that's what we wanted. And that's about as good as it gets. And now they want to bring residential, other than residential, in businesses, and it's no good. We have people that have grandchildren that are down there. My kids are too big to be grandchildren. But I look out for all of them. And we don't need any more traffic down there. Everything is filled up. And this man is in it for the money. It's as simple as it gets. And okay. I'm against it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mrs. Raymond. Thank you. Mr. Alsop, you're the next name on the list, but let me move to Shirley Gordon. And so Shirley Gordon, please.
I'm Shirley Gordon, and I live at 723 Wisconsin, and that is one road back from the property that we're talking about. And I just have a couple concerns, and one of the first things is, of course, that this area that we are talking about, that first of all, that it has been rented out for several years, my understanding is, and this just recently came to light. And I guess the feeling is that there is a wall. It's a very high wall that Johnny had built around the property, and we've never really been able to see into the area. So I guess the first thing that I'd like to say is that we didn't know about it. If we had known about it, it would have been something that we would have probably brought to Yen's a lot sooner than this, because we did move into a residential area that we never expected a business to be going on. Now, I know that you say that this is a special interest permit, and I think that there's a real fine line here between commercial and special interest, because no matter what, there's money being exchanged, and there's money being exchanged for a consumer product. You have people that are coming in, they're going ahead and they're paying for services, services being that they're going to enjoy these cabins and that. The bottom line is it does create a lot more traffic, and everybody's talking about the road, this road that's there. Well, nobody's talking about when it rains, what happens to that road. And I can tell you, because all the water from this subdivision comes through my property, runs down through the property next to mine down below, and it runs across this road, and it goes into Mr. Alsop's property. So this road floods out, okay? It is not a good road to start with. And then you add all this traffic that's being added, and it goes into his driveway. Second of all, I am concerned because we have a lot of children. There's a lot more children now in the area, particularly on that lower road. We have across the driveway from this particular property, one house down, we have a house that has several children. Two houses down on the same road, there's children. The children do play in their yards, but they also ride their bikes, their skateboards. We have senior citizens in that that walk. We have other adults in that walk their animals in that. I know myself, I go ahead and I walk with my lab, and I do walk on that lower road because it is a dead-end street, and there is a lot more traffic, and it's traffic that is out of town also. Now, can I attribute this all to, you know, the rentals? No, I can't. But I do think that there has been more traffic, and I've always thought that it's people looking for houses, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's been people that have been staying at these cabins. I did not know, as I said once again, that these cabins were there. We were also told that the garage that was built there, I do have a question, and that was, were planning and zoning aware that when the garages were built that there was a efficiency apartment built with them? Because I'm hearing about the floodplain, and I'm wondering how, with the garages, that there was an efficiency apartment built if they weren't allowed to build. That's just a question that I have in that. And if so, you know, I'm just wondering if there can be more cabins built, because it was interesting today. The house is offered for sale, and I went on the Internet, and I came across a couple things on the Internet. And one of the things is that there's a virtual tour that says that this property, this is concerning the property that's being, we're talking about, and it says, this property consists of equivalent of three lakefront cabins on three Taney Como lakefront lots with an additional lot available to build more cabins. Now, I know I did call planning and zoning, and I asked about that, if they could build more cabins, and I was told no, probably, you know, not because it was a floodplain, but there might be an exception, and I am one of those people that's concerned about exceptions. I know that people have been able to build taller houses down there in the floodplain area. I would hate to think that they could come back somewhere along the line and be able to build more cabins, because this is a 1.78 acre land, and I wouldn't want them to be able to do that. I don't want this to be built up. I bought this land when it was residential back in 1975 with my mom and my dad. I don't want a business here. I've lived here for a long time, and it's a beautiful place to live. I work in Springfield, but I always come home to Hollister. The other thing that I'd just like to talk about is that the three-car garage, would this be something that they could turn into cabins also? If they can't build, can they turn those into cabins? And I guess the last thing that I have to say is that in the covenant, which we were one of the first landowners down there when Clay Cantwell sold us the land back in 1975, and I thought, oh, my gosh, can't believe that we're going to build down here, because there was nobody else down there, and I thought this is farmland, was the fact that it did say in there, in the covenant, that no businesses, under no circumstances, would be permitted, no home businesses, no businesses of any sort would be permitted down there. So I hope you keep that in perspective. That covenant was never revoked, and I hope that you would keep that in mind. I know that Mr. Alsop would like to go ahead and continue what he has been doing, but unfortunately, we also would like to keep it the residential area that we've had it and not have any special permits issued. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Alsop, before we go any further, Eddie, do you want to say anything about clarification about the floodplain FEMA limitations on future development or building down there?
As mentioned before, this is a more severe area than what we would call a floodplain. This is in the floodway. The only way anyone is allowed to build in a floodway is if they go through the process of getting what's called a engineered no-rise certificate. Down at the end of Foggy River Road, there's several empty lots down there. If you'll remember, there was a lady that had a lot down the end of there, and she bought the lot, just wanted to sell it to somebody else who, of course, wanted to build on the lot that was available to be built on. We would not issue a permit for that. She did go through the process to get an engineer no-rise certificate at considerable expense to herself, and we're talking pretty close to $10,000 in about 8 months of time to develop an area, and it was very specific on where that could be placed and what had to be done before anything could be done there. In this situation, the garage was built just after Taney County entered into the National Flood Insurance Program, just a few months after. And in actuality, I don't even know if they had all of their floodways established at that particular time. But, there were some things that did slip through the cracks when that was brand new. But today, if anybody wanted to do any kind of expanding of any sort, it would require quite a bit of intensive work from an engineer through FEMA, and possibly even a variance from our floodplain ordinance and everything. So it wouldn't be where anybody could just come in and say, "I'm going to build this up on stilts and give me a permit." So now, as far as converting the garage. As far as infill is concerned, we don't normally issue permits for anything like that. Once something's built, how it's used on the inside, we don't have a lot of say on, with this exception. In the floodplain, a lot of times, if a new structure is being built, some things can be done as far as elevating a structure, keeping all the utilities, electricity out of that. In this particular area, that shouldn't be the case. Now, not to say that it couldn't look like a garage and be something else, because we just won't go in and inspect everybody's house or anything like that. So
I guess, Ms. Gordon, my response is that the real estate speak on your real estate ad is not valid. I mean, that's real estate speak is what you're quoting there, and has little or anything to do with what we're dealing with tonight again. So. I hope you take what Mr. Coxey has said. Mr. Alsop, the applicant.
Yes.
Well, as far as the real estate part of it, I probably never really read that ad in detail, but there's actually two extra lots there. The garage being on one of them, which one of the neighbors did raise that question. Why, right before the meeting, he says, "How are you able to build that?" And he built a house across the street, mine having a living area in it, which I got the permit for it. It's on file. And he had to, of course, he's got different rules. I don't know the order that was built. I can't answer that question. But all I know is I had a permit. There was no problem, and I built it. So at that time. But I think that was before Eddie was here.
Well, these aren't my rules, okay. but these were rules that, again, when the garage was built, were still being formatted and everything. Because when I came to Taney County in 06, I had to write a plan of action for the floodplain administrator here at that time and everything. So things have changed, and we understand the severity of building in the floodplain, floodways, and things like that. And so we enforce those rules pretty strict.
But it does show. It shows in another apartment, in their living area, bedroom, which I don't plan on renting that out. The only part I plan on renting is when I purchased the property, I couldn't even get in to see it. Donna Moon had it listed, and she wouldn't let me in to see it. So I just wrote a contract on it. You know, I knew about what it looked like with the pictures on the on the internet, but it was rented at that time. And the people before me, I think it was the Sherlings or something. That was Dino.
Dino, that is.
I still don't know how to pronounce his last name, but he rented it. He and Cheryl, and then the Sherlings, they rented it. I don't know what happened before then, but. I just ask that, with the buffering.
Let me clarify just a couple of things. You are the primary owner of that property today.
That's right.
And the property is for sale.
It is for sale.
Okay. And you have been the primary property owner for how many years?
Since the 27th day of July 2004.
2004, so 6 years.
Right.
You have been the property owner.
That's correct.
Okay. And you have used the property. And have you rented the property?
I have recently. Yeah, I've let people use it, and I used to use it a lot more, but I just, don't have time to come down here as much as I'd like to. I probably wouldn't have bought the property if I had known that I could never rent it, but I wasn't aware until one of the neighbors brought it to Eddie's attention that I needed a special use. You know, otherwise I would, I'm not trying to get away with anything. I would like to, and whatever stipulations, within reason, of course, I would, agree to whatever you ask. But I sure don't want to. I didn't want to make my neighbors mad, but they evidently didn't know it was being rented out. I don't know. They do like the view across my property. And I asked that they not cut any trees down on my property until, because if it does sell, to improve their view, I asked that they not do that right now because who knows what the future owner will do. And if it does sell, I mean, he'll have to come back and try this, and ask for your permission again anyway. So I'm trying to, I like it heavily wooded like that. Maybe some people don't. But I would also ask and invite everybody to go take a look at it. Drive in there, take a look. I can give Eddie the code or my real estate agent and just see what it's about because it's very private, extremely private.
And you purchased it for vacation property.
Right. Yep.
Okay. Any other questions for Mr. Alsup, and then we'll move on to the other items on the agenda. Yes, Mr. Edwards.
Do you live on the property now?
No, I don't.
What part are you asking permission to rent out?
The original cabin, the log cabin.
Just one original cabin.
That's right. It's built like two efficiency apartments. They each have their own little kitchen, a bath. It's just one big room. And then they're joined by a middle hall. It's like got a stone floor, and it's open. There's a big screen TV in there, and... it was set, I bought it with all the furniture in it, and that's the way it still is.
Well, how would the Nazi rental, since you don't live there, how would the Nazi rental be handled?
Well,
responsible for renting and so forth.
We do by, I don't know if you know Dave Welch, he's a local fishing guy down there, but he's been down here for about 25 years, and he keeps an eye on it for me. He's always on the lake. He and his wife clean it. Take care of it. Any problems, they would call him.
But if I wanted to rent it, who would I see?
You would talk to me.
Talk to you? Mm-hmm. Where do you live?
I live in Washington, Missouri.
He's on the internet also, Mr. Edwards.
So if I wanted it tonight, I'd have to see you, and if somebody else wanted it the next night.
I have a 3-night minimum right now. I'm trying to go to 5 nights to have less problems for me, really. But it's really not being rented much anyway.
The request is for nightly rental.
That is correct.
Right, so nightly rental is anything less than 30 days at a time.
That's 7 nights. Now a week.
Right, anything less than 30 days at a time is considered nightly rental, whether he rented it 2 weeks at a time.
But nobody's actually on site to handle those.
No, they just have a number to call if they have a problem.
Okay.
But But I have like a, you know, local heating, cooling guy, plumbing, electrician, you know, that I use if there's any problem. But, after the flood, I did update the heating, cooling, and water heaters and stuff like that. That's it. That was the only damage. The flood got into my floor joist. It just touched the floor joist, luckily.
Okay. Mr. Alsop, the gentleman that you've mentioned that kind of watches out for this, when somebody would rent this, do they are they given his number, or is it the house somewhere?
It's on each refrigerator on each side. Yeah, posted on there.
You haven't been renting it up till now very much.
That's right.
And you want it to be able to rent it more, yet you have it for sale. What do you think it's going to
be? I don't think it's going to sell. You know,
it's not going to pass on to whoever you sell it to.
That's right. That's right. I think I'll probably own it for quite some time. Because, and these people, my neighbors, they may not want to admit this, but when they get to be 90 and 100 years old, they might not want the maintenance. They've got property that is not going to sell, and they may choose to rent it a week at a time. Because there is more money in that than renting it to, I could probably rent it to a 20 person family with three apartments, you know? I don't really rent it one night at a time, you know? If people want to, you know, rent and have a party or something, but I've got families staying there.
Do you have an occupancy limit? How many people would you allow to be in that?
On my website, I do have it listed on a website. It's homeaway.com. It's 9 people. But it's got a loft in it. That's the middle area, folds out.
Okay, I'm sorry, I missed that.
It's 9 people.
9 people is your occupancy limit. Yeah. Okay. Okay, and that's an
important. But I haven't had that many.
Okay.
When my friends and I come down there, we sometimes have 20 people, you know. But we haven't been doing that.
Okay.
I'm getting too old for that.
Okay.
I would like to clarify one more thing real quick.
Okay.
Because the garage does have an apartment above it, and you're not looking to use that at all in your rental, even if somebody has a larger group or anything.
No, because I like to reserve that for myself. You know, if somebody does come, you know, I want to be able to use it too.
Okay. Let's move on. Assuming that we now have the best information that we have on this project, we will be voting on that project next Monday night. You're more than welcome to come again. Let's close the public hearing section and move on to the permit request. Okay? Moving along to Big Cedar.
As you know, Eddie Wolf was here to represent Big Cedar. He asked if he could postpone that, pardon me, until next week. He's still within his time frame if he does that and that permit is approved. So we will have honored that request to let him move on. I am not aware that there is anybody else here for a permit renewal.
Okay, then let's move on to old and new business.
Under old and new business, we have one to Martin here from the Y Highway Mount Vernon area down the street here. Let me give you some background on this real quick before Ms. Martin is in. As you know, the Taney County Regional Sewer District did some work down on the Y Highway, installing a sewer plant and everything down there through a contractor. Ms. Martin owns a piece of property adjacent to one of the easements where the sewer line was ran. She did have Dan, can you bring me up that a little bit bigger? She did have a stock pond right here. And then the sewer runs up through this area right here. I don't know all of the details. I can tell you what I've been told and everything like that. An agreement was made to remove the stock pond. And so the contractor for this job came in, and the agreement, I'm guessing, was between Ms. Martin and the contractor. She can elaborate on that a little bit when she gets there. But to remove that pond, and they did. Now, in so doing, as they removed the pond and everything, the lay of the land changed a little bit, and most of the cover, as they put the sewer line, all the ground cover here was gone, but a lot of the ground cover had disappeared. It was reseeded and strawed, of course, at a time when unless you water heavy, nothing is growing, so still probably not a whole lot out there. And as I visited the site, it was a little bit bare. I visited the site because there was a complaint from a neighbor further down here about sediment and erosion control running off and everything like that. And there's been a little bit of an attempt to put in some riprap in this area to make sure that the sediment stuff wasn't leaving the property. Wasn't quite totally effective, and until the ground cover grew back in, it was really needed some silt fence and stuff up here for proper management of that. Because this area is less than an acre, well, we would not intervene in that without the request of a or a complaint from another citizen. Went out, visited the site, visited with the commissioner and a few other things, and went back and sat with the sewer district because it was the contractor from the sewer district. They were talking about, well, we'll do this and we'll do some different things, and we'll see about handling this. I was instructed to contact Ms. Martin to see if she would grant access to the property, and called and talked to her about that. She was going to think about that. She wanted to see who was going to be on the property and what the plan was to fix it and everything like that, which is reasonable. In the meantime, the sewer board met again. This was presented by the engineer different things like that. They came back and said, no, this was a private agreement. It's out of our easement. We're not going to do anything with this. So it falls back into my lap then to send Ms. Martin a letter and tell her that she's got some issues here, and until the ground cover grows back in, that we need some sediment and erosion control means up there. As the property owner record, that's where that falls to. So I sent Ms. Martin a letter to tell her to get in touch with me to see what we could work out. She has asked to see you, and so she's here to speak with you.
Okay.
Hello, my name is Wanda Martins. And first of all, I'd like to thank you for being here. I know sometimes it's really an unappreciated job. I appreciate you. And I'm so glad we have planning and zoning. I've been in counties where they don't, and you could have a used car lot come in right next to you. And I was helping my daughter find a place up Kansas City, and there's a county like that on the northeast side of Independence, and we didn't even look there. You can't imagine. Anyway, thank you. I appreciate it. I do own Lot 2, Block C, in the Suzanne subdivision, and that is from an old plat, and it's not quite correct. It shows me up because I have brought my little paper one. I'm glad I didn't realize you had a nice big screen. My land does not go up next to that little, if I could turn this on. This is not quite correct. This is a little lean-to, what do you call it, carport. A little carport on this little house here, and that's, of course, not owned by me. There is a 30-foot easement. If I could do 30 foot.
And do be aware that these lines can be off as much as 30 feet.
They're off 30 feet.
Right. So my board understands that.
If you move that down, right. There's a road, proposed road. It's called Simpson Street. It's never been made into a street and probably never will because it ends right here. It's platted. The only person that would help would be me, and please don't put me on a corner lot because I don't need it and it's just expensive. So I have written to you, and the best way I can save your time and mine, because when I get talking, I can talk. So let me read it, and if I get too wordy, shut me down.
Your property is where?
My property is the blue, but it's down. It's
okay, is
farther
are you
south.
Living on this land?
No, it's timber, basically.
Okay.
Or
no structure. Okay.
It was
so no structure.
It was basically timber until the sewer district got done with me.
Okay,
it's shredded right now. Let me give you some history of the problem and the logistics. If you're not familiar with this property. My property is on Mount Vernon Street, just outside the city limits of Forsyth. On my south border is timber, as you can see there. On my north border is a 30-foot proposed street, even has a name, Simpson, which if it is a street, let's rename that. It is 200 feet long, and it ends at the end of my property on the northeast corner there. In the summer of last year, 2009, the Taney County Regional Sewer District installed sewer pipes on Simpson Street. My land should not have been touched. While doing so, they cleared 20 to 30 feet of my property. I called my attorney. My attorney sent a letter. He found out that the Larry Snyder Company had done it, and he sent a letter, and I'll read you a paragraph. I am informed and believe your company has engaged in earth and tree removal and excavation of this area of Mount Vernon and Simpson Street in Taney County. However, it appears encroachment, trespass, and intrusion by your company or persons on its behalf has occurred without right onto my client's Lot 2, Block C, so that damage has occurred. Be aware, damages of such trespass may be trouble in accordance to section, and he gives the section number. I couldn't believe my eyes. My property no longer looked like my property. I have photographs of what they've done to me. And I would like to pass them around, Eddie, if that's okay. Make sure I got the right one here. I've got two different bunches.
Yeah, we've got some photographs that we've taken.
Well, this is as the damage was being done to me, and I want you to see these to see what they have done to my property.
This is how it was when I visited the site.
Yes, this is after they got done with the sewer, and I think they've planted grass there, which, like you said, Eddie, with no rain, it didn't come up.
This is the area we had the problem with the erosion. You can see even down in this area here how that
was. I'm sorry. While you're looking at that, I'll go on and save you some time. My land had been destroyed by the sewer company. My topsoil, my vegetation, small trees had been all bulldozed over onto the rest of my land. There were big piles of gravel, as you'll see in these photos, that was on my land in place of the grass. Huge boulders were on my property that they had dug up during the sewer. It left the pond exposed and easy to reach by children. I had my property surveyed, and my northwest and my northeast metal stakes in the ground are either buried or have been removed. The Larry Snyder Company was very apologetic, and they said, "What can we do to make it right?" There is nothing that will make it right again. There's nothing that will make it look like it did before. But I ask them that while they had the big equipment there to please drain the green, potentially mosquito-infested farm pond. I didn't want a child to drown. Now that that pond was opened where you could see it, a child could have drowned. And the mosquito potential was rampant. I did not want my neighbors to have to suffer from mosquitoes. You can't please everybody all the time. This pond is not a retention pond. It's an old farm pond. Water never ran into it because of the way it was built and because before it was stripped of vegetation, water would not run up into it. Water ran around it, on both sides around it. The water in the pond only came from above, and that's why it was so green. We'd not had rain for a long, long time. Larry Snyder Company complied and took care of the problem. The runoff from the rain is coming from the proposed street and the neighbor's property to the northeast. Can you show that back, go back to that first picture? And from the roof of that carport, it is going across my property into a natural ditch. Ditches are a natural egress of water. That's what ditches do. If you have a gully in your backyard, you're going to have water run down it. My land, again, should never have been touched. You can surely see I'm the victim here. I'm not the perpetrator. On my last visit to my property on September the 1st was after that heavy rain, the last day of August. The water had drained off Mount Vernon Street onto my land into the ditch. Now this is the area. Not only did they clear this area, this is skinned, but they also cleared this area along Mount Vernon because somewhere along here there is a manhole, and they've put the sewer down along here, which I'm thankful for the sewer. And I'm not complaining about that, but I am complaining about the devastation of my property. So this area right here has been seeded, and again, it didn't grow. And all this water is running down into this ditch all the way down. And I presume the neighbors live, there's only one house on this whole east side of Mount Vernon, and it sits way down. There's a double lot here, twice as big as mine, and then there's one neighbor right down here. I assume it's them that's complaining. I would think my neighbors would be more concerned about the gray water that is running onto my property from that little blue house right there than they would be about a little bit of clean runoff from the rains. This must be addressed by the planning and zoning, and this is another subject, but please, please take care of that before another family moves in. There's no one in that house right now, so it's dry and there's no water running.
Okay, and that house being which house?
It's the house north to me.
Okay, with the carport.
Yes. It's a little blue house with a carport right on the street. The reason they put the street on me, or the sewer on, the sewer's not on me, but the why they graded up all on me is they didn't want to move that carport. That carport is right on the street. And I have, if this is actually better, you can probably...
Okay, but if you don't mind, let me see if I can clarify my perception of what the issues are.
Okay.
And Eddie, help me
with
this.
Let me just real quick to tell you.
Okay.
This is high up here, and she's right. Everything runs down through here, and this is kind of a natural drainage. And from our perspective, the issue... whether she clearly has issues with the contract in the sewer district, and that's who she needs to be in front of about getting this repaired.
Right.
I'm responding to a complaint from a neighbor, and I have to go out because when we have stormwater issues like that, it's the responsibility of the property owner. Now, if she wants to take that back to the sewer board and discuss with them, that's fine and dandy. I don't have a problem with that. But it's my I just give the suggestions as to what I think. Now, I think once all the ground covers and everything's in there and they're not losing any sediment, I think there's still going to be some water run down through there at times. It looks like when you walk the property that water has run down through here and down through here forever. It wouldn't surprise me. But where I come in is that when there's a sediment issue where sediment's leaving one property and going on to another, that's what's not allowed as far as I'm concerned. If there's been a change in topography or anything that's causing severe stormwater issues downstream there, that's going to be a civil matter between the complainant and this property owner. If there's issues because of trespassing on the property and not fixing that correctly, again, that's not going to be with us. That's going to be with the sewer board and with their contractor. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, this shows you clear where the problem is.
Okay.
The water is coming from the blue house. It's coming off of the blue house. It's coming right down through here off on me, and down through the timber, and the
right.
people down here have a gully. Right. I mean, I don't know what else to call it. Those are, we call it gully.
And where that drops off, that's where your property line is, right there where the gully is, where it drops off the edge there, right behind the pond.
No, my property goal is 100 foot, so it's a little bit farther okay. south than that.
Okay, and the problem is
they're complaining.
When it rains. Uh-huh. Okay, and the problem is that someone has issued a complaint that the water is running onto their property when it rains.
Yes.
The water
they're complaining
and
that
you're saying that's true, but it's not your fault.
Yes.
It goes back to the sewer installation.
The water is not starting on me. The water is starting up here where the sewer company has taken off the
right.
ground, everything.
Okay.
Ground.
And what are you asking us to do?
Well, Eddie wrote me a letter saying that if I did not do this, 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 and this, there would be further action against me. Folks, this is not my problem. The pond, the neighbors, I believe, Eddie complained about that I had filled in their retention pond, therefore the water is running now. The water has run for centuries down that ditch, I can tell you.
Okay.
And the water did not come into that pond. You could barely see that pond.
The pond may have supplied some retention, but she's not required to keep a stock pond or anything on the property. She
right.
wants to close that in as a pond.
Right.
And you know.
Okay. But I guess, excuse me, I'm just really trying to grasp what the real issues are
okay.
here. So you're saying that you are not the person that the complaint should be issued against.
Yes.
We can only address the property owner of record. If she has a complaint.
But why aren't you addressing the people up above?
This is where the sediment's leaving the property onto the neighbor's property.
It's leaving my property because it's coming onto my property.
And water, like I said, water will come and water will leave. Mm-hmm. But there's also sediment leaving the property because there is no ground.
Because
cover,
of the disruption of the land.
I think these pictures will show you more clearly.
And Dan, if you'll go on to the where it shows the river.
Yeah, Dad, if you have some pictures,
well,
maybe that'll help.
What's happening is this all runs down here, and as you can see, there's no ground cover. Go on to the next one, Dan. And what was done is you can see how this is eroding out and how this is, the dirt stuff is running down through here. That's my concern. I know the water's going to leave the property. Now, if the complainant wants to pursue this matter and say she's changed the lay of the land, everything like that, she's concentrated the flow of water leaving the property, that's going to be a civil issue between them. But as long as this sediment and everything is leaving the property, not the water so much, but the sediment, or if it was visible
sure.
that she had created a concentrated flow of water allowing it to leave the property at a faster rate or a greater volume than it ever did in the past, then she would be at issue. But along this line here, until there's a good ground cover in, and I don't think there's enough seeds out there to do it, she needed some silt fences, she needed some more riprap to get rid of this erosion, and then that probably needs to be seeded heavier until it
okay.
comes in.
Okay, I hear that. So why is it your concern with the construction company that did the initial damage?
Because I got the letter from Planning and Zoning telling me that if I didn't do
okay,
this,
so
and this.
Okay, so you take that letter from Planning and Zoning and take it to either the sewer board or to the construction company and have them help you make this right.
All right, then do I get a stay on the 10 days?
What was your response to that, Eddie?
Isn't
that the process?
I think that letter says, you know, contact her office within 10 days with some kind of a workable plan. And if she's going to go, if she just let me know what
it's
her plan is.
It's a workable plan, yeah.
That
okay.
you're going to go to the sewer board and try to get this rectified and everything like that, then that's what we work on. But I have to have a response.
And you're getting it.
And exactly right.
Right.
And as to what
so
she plans on doing.
So let's counsel her to Ms. Martin to remedy this through appeals to the construction company that caused the problem to begin with.
The construction company came in and seeded it and did what they thought they could do.
It wasn't enough. Let's go back to the construction
company. I can't go back to construction.
But you asked them to remove that pond, which changed the topography of the land.
Yes,
okay.
But it did.
Therefore, at one point or another, that if you had not asked them to change or fill in that pond, water runoff would have continued the way it was, which there were no complaints before that.
Well, no, not exactly. Because,
I don't know that the water, right now, I don't know that it's been increased or anything like that. I think the water's still going to the normal place that it goes.
But because they did fill that pond in, they changed that layout of the land.
It has changed somewhat.
Okay.
Somewhat, but the drainage did not go into that pond. That pond was overgrown, and water could not get into that pond, so it was never...
But whether they filled that pond in, they could have changed the layout past where the water was running on both sides of that pond.
Well, the water ran on both sides before,
but
now that this is skinned up, now that there's no grass up on this neighbor's land, the water comes down through here, and over.
Sure. Okay,
I would suggest...
We understand the problem. The question is, let's deal with the remedy.
Yes.
And the question that we're dealing with here is, under your counsel and advice, can we give Ms. Martin a 60-day or a time period to remedy the situation?
Sure. We just need a workable plan. Now, whether the complaint is going to be agreeable to that. They may choose to go ahead and take it into court. I don't know, and that's their prerogative. But
well,
the deal is the sewer district is operating under a different perception than what Ms. Roberts has presented to us tonight somewhat. They're not of the understanding that the contractor has worked outside of his easement or anything like that, and that this agreement was made as an agreement due to trespass on your property or anything like that and changes like that. They're not operating under that assumption. They're under the assumption that a deal was made between this property owner and the contractor, in addition that the contractor worked through everything. So she really needs to present that to the sewer board so that they can understand her side of it, and then they may be totally agreeable to come in and have it all fixed for you.
What do you think they're going to do when you said in your letter the Taney County Regional Sewer District has met on this issue and has determined this is not a result of their project?
How can
it not be a result of their project when they're the ones that trespassed on my land, stripped my land of all vegetation, and destroyed it? How can they say it's not their problem? It is their problem.
Ms. Roberts, they haven't heard your side of it from you, I'm guessing. And so they've met, and they're just putting, you know, what the story they put together. So that's what I'm saying. They actually need to hear from you exactly so they can ask you the same questions and things like that.
Do you think they're going to do anything that's going to cost them money? They're going to say this is your problem and live with it.
I can't.
We're going to bring this to an end because I think we understand. Our advice to Mr. Coxey is that you work with Ms. Martin and bring the people that are involved in this issue together and get some kind of resolution. And it may, in fact, end up that you are responsible for the runoff as a result of the elimination of the pond. That seems to be the one major difference where you're concerned
about
sediment.
That's what they'd like to say, but that isn't true because these pictures will show
this,
you.
We cannot take action on this. We are not a decision-making body in this particular kind of situation. So what I'm saying is you need to work with Mr. Coxey in the Planning and Zoning Office to bring the other parties together to bring resolution to this problem.
Well, they're facing a lawsuit, I'm telling you, because my next step is my attorney. I thought I could get it settled tonight that I would not be threatened
Ms. Martins, all we're asking you for is a workable plan, and if your next step is that you need to meet with the sewer district.
That I would not be threatened with extra...
Further action.
Whatever that may be that you're going to do to me because I'm not taking care of my problem. It's not my problem.
Ma'am, we're saying that we can give you, or Eddie can give you, additional time to meet with these people that can make this decision and make these adjustments.
Well, it's all going to come back to me. I mean, you know, it's... I can't stand against a sewer.
I don't need a vote. Y'all can do whatever you want, but, I mean, this is really...
60 days. So she has a peace of mind that you're not going to be finding her 10 days from now.
Exactly.
No. I mean, you, this is in your record here. We have the minutes on that.
I'll state that, that I would like to see her have 60 days that she's available to check these different...
Sure, because she'll have to get to the sewer board, and they meet on at certain times also.
Okay.
Thank you.
This board does not. Miss Martin got a letter from me because we had to respond. Anytime there's water runoff issues, stormwater runoff issues, that is part of our jurisdiction. This one's very convoluted due to the fact of the sewer board. And it is something that needs to be taken up with the sewer board. However, I do have to respond to the complaint, and I do have to make sure that she responds back to me with it. And that's all I was looking for, a response back from...
That's why I'm here, is I got the letter from
and
you.
And we're going to bring this to an end. We spent close to 45 minutes on this issue now and understand the dilemma.
But and I tried to make it short with my little letter.
We're giving you the lines of remedy, and that's an important kind of thing.
Okay, well, I wanted to say the reason I came to you is because I got the letter from you telling me if I didn't do something in 10 days, then there'd be further action taken against me.
So Eddie's going to work with you and give you 60 days to...
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you for your time.
Let's move on. We still have items on the agenda. So, Mr. Coxie, again, the issue of the Greg Altom.
There's nobody here tonight, so I'm just going to kind of bring you up to speed. I've had several conversations with Mr. Altom, not the one that was here tonight that got the approval, but the other one that normally comes in. Mr. Altom is taking much exception.
Your purse. Yes. Don't forget your purse.
With having to fence everything, last conversation I had with him, I said, immediately put up the 8-foot privacy fence between you and the residential area. If you want to come back and talk to them about fencing the yard before you've had the opportunity to do all that, then come back and at least we've progressed somewhere. I visited site today and there's nothing. I talked with Sean a couple times, and Mr. Altom asked the question, if I don't have any equipment on the property, do I need the fence up? Sean said to me, nope, no equipment, no fence, equipment fence.
So you've got a big pile of gravel.
Yeah. Right? Well, I understand that, but he's saying this fence is a safety issue because of the equipment. Long story short, I thought Mr. Altom was going to be here to talk with you. I don't see Mr. Altom. Maybe he misunderstood. I don't know. No fence, no holes, nothing.
He's got two backhoes out there. The best thing to do is haul them off and get that gravel out there and level that lot up and forget about it. It'd be the best thing happened to all of them.
I thought the fence was more of a privacy deal for the
gravel. It was. I
don't think he has your deadline to put his fence over.
Okay. Well, and I'll make sure. I don't know where he's at. He's getting real close to that deadline. But I'm going to ask you this question. If we immediately get the privacy fence up, and other than if he's working on site, does he need to go ahead and fence the yard if there's no equipment stored there right now until he gets it fixed up?
As far as I'm concerned, if you put it on the backside next to the residential, as long as there's nothing else going on, it's going to about take care of the gravel pile. Okay. If he's got any construction in there, any equipment, then he needs no money.
Yeah, his concern was in doing if he puts up the fence that's going to encircle the equipment when the project's totally finished, that it'll be all messed up and ripped out while they're trying to...
I know we had a crusher and they're crushing gravel for a while.
Okay, so that continues to be an ongoing challenge.
He's aware there is a deadline, so and we may have already passed it. I don't know, but I will tell him that.
Can we move on to the next item?
We can.
Mr. Wacob?
If y'all remember, Mr. Wacob was in. He's the guy with the frozen pop, ice pop things. home occupation and everything. He is in a situation where he needs to... take his home that he's building out of his name. And he called me because he's under special use permit, which is particular to the property owner of record, or the requester, and to the site. He wants to put this, this property will be in his son. I don't know if he's selling or what he's doing, but it'll be in his son's name. He wants to continue to live there and operate his business. Under special use, it's particular to the applicant, to the site. So... we can make the argument either way. He's still going to live there. He's still going to be doing it, but he's not.
But he won't own it anymore, so he's not the owner of record.
That is correct.
That night.
So, duh, we just told someone tonight that the special use permit goes with the applicant.
Yep.
Okay, the applicant's still living there.
Yeah. But he won't
own
the house.
But he's not the owner. That is correct.
He's renting.
If we let one do it, then we open the door for the rest of the houses.
I'll tell Mr. Walker to come back and see you.
All right.
The new owner is going to have to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he has a travel trailer on that property.
Yes, he does.
So, or RV. No, it's an RV, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So what we're saying, though, is even though...
He may move that RV somewhere else and still be in his name, though, right?
But it wouldn't be...
But it wouldn't be at that address.
But he's actually... He's actually
he's
built...
Yeah.
And we're beyond the popsicle season anyway.
So you're telling Mr. You're telling Mr. Walker that his son needs to come in and get approval for a special use.
Yes.
Okay.
From the beginning. Yeah.
Okay, that's all I need
From
to find
beginning.
Out.
Yeah, is there anything else? These are such dramas and traumas. It's just amazing.
Well, there's always a twist on something.
Uh-huh.
It always gets twisted just a little, so... That's what I have for you. Listen, Wednesday night, if you have the opportunity, we have the Board of Adjustment. It's going to be a pretty ugly meeting, I think.
And what's the issue?
The issue is the Highway 160 project. As you remember, that came through under the project started under an emergency waiver. All the permits were issued in a timely manner. As
you mean
far
165?
As,
right out of
the 160.
Oh, the 160.
The one building that turned into four.
That was
a week.
Well, when he came through, this is the one that I saw him putting in a culvert out there. I stopped to see what was going on. MoDOT was sticking in the culvert for them to have a driveway. Began to talk with them, so found out what was happening with it. They came in immediately, hadn't broken any of the ground or anything like that, came in immediately and got a permit to do land disturbance. Came through, I told them how long it was going to take. They had buildings and equipment coming. They asked to see the county commission for emergency waiver, granted that.
He's the one that said, well, nobody else in Taney County gets a permit, so I didn't see why I needed to.
So anyway, all the people who were here complaining that they didn't get their say, some of those have hired attorneys, and so they are... you followed your procedure. Shouldn't be any kind of an issue.
Exactly.
Then a question for two other projects that are out there with great drama, and the 165 gravel quarry. What's the status of that? And then the church property on F Highway.
I placed a stop work order on the Highway 165 quarry several weeks ago. Last Thursday, I got my certified letter back from them. They refused to accept it, notifying them that there was a stop work order on the property. I can send them something else. I don't know.
Send the sheriff's department.
Well, anyway, make a long story short, that's where we're at. I'll need to get with Mr. Paulson to see. I'm guessing that it's your intent that we would... like the state to proceed with closing that quarry down, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct? I mean, if it's not, then I'll stop where I'm at. But I believe that's what you had decided. So I'll get with Mr. Paulson on the next step to see what we need to do as far as getting that notice in their hand or whatever. I suppose I could throw leaflets all over the property. I don't know. We'll do that, and then tell Mr. Paulson that we are wanting to proceed on with the closing down of the quarry. If you've driven out F Highway, you've seen the new brown metal building go up at our site. I am at a place I can do nothing else. I have a stop work order on the property. I have turned it all over to the prosecuting attorney, and all I can do is. Mm-hmm. Has sent her nasty letters that have no backing unless...
But she did contact my organization.
Yes,
she
did.
Wants us to put a new roof on. Her roof is leaking, and she wants us to put a new roof on her house.
She's currently operating a car lot that was denied and made to be removed once before. It is out there. She's built at least two buildings now without proper permits. And
her bus...
There's a lot, but until we can get somebody to back up what our code says. I've exhausted my, other than standing across the street and throwing rocks and hoping she doesn't recognize me, I have nothing else I can do. So it is her intention to build more. So that's where we're at. Just need some kind of enforcement. So
does she have sewer running up on the ground or anything?
No, she has a large septic system. There was a lot of conditions made for her when she got her first approval, the only approval that she got, and most of those conditions have never been met, so everything was revoked. I have a timeline of that. If you'd like to have it, I'll bring it to you next week, but I thought I'd given that all to you, but I'd be glad to bring that to you. John Suti with the sewer district has indicated that with the system that she's got, if I'm not mistaken, really shouldn't have anything else added out there anymore. It is working now, but it's not what it was supposed to be either. So there's a lot of different issues. There were supposed to be underground utilities, and there was supposed to be a property split off and some different things like that. It just never has happened. So if you have any pull or have the opportunity to mention this to the prosecuting attorney or anybody that might be of assistance to us, we're at the point where we can't do anything else but sit back and watch them go.
We can't get DNR involved. Sewer's not on top of the ground.
Until there's a few more structures on the property, no. I don't believe so.
There might be.
I can.
She can just build down to the bottom. Keep going.
Are we ready to adjourn?
Wait. I need to tell you one more thing.
Is it a good thing?
No, it's not.
Okay.
Recently, I was requested by one of the recipients of a permit, Division 3 permit, out on Highway 160 near Kazee Mills. The gentleman that was putting in the business does the trash hauling. To inspect a property across the street from him because there was some land disturbance going on. Stopped on the property and visited with the individual. He took exception to me being there and has been in front of the county commission a couple times stating that I had no business to be there and that, some other things like that. Through the period, I sent him a letter telling him he needed a permit, also that he needed one from Department of Natural Resources, and told him that I would inform Department of Natural Resources. He didn't want to share with me what his plans were at that particular time, because if he'd said I'm planting corn or something like that, then I would have backed off and told him, make sure you get in touch with the Department of Natural Resources. He said my land's agricultural. It's zoned agricultural. Well, it's assessed agricultural, but you know, it's not really zoned anything because we don't have any zoned districts. So he's assessed agricultural and then has presented to the county commission that he's going to have to fill out some applications with DNR because I followed through with DNR and everything. He's probably disturbed about somewhere between 5 and 10 acres, I would guess, out there completely. I was approached by Rob Dalton with White River Electric. He said, are you aware of the project going in out there? We've been requested to supply electricity for about 50 to 60 mobile homes. I said, no. I said, I'm dealing with that on a different level right now. He has come back, and he did ask the county commission that they terminate my employment and that they pay him the $300 it was going to cost him to fill out the application and wanted a letter of apology. However, it does fall in line with exactly what our code book states. If you disturb an acre of ground or more, you have a permit. Now, the position of the county is, if it's agricultural, we'll back off and not touch it. But his statement to me was, I have some plans, but I don't wish to share them with you at this time. So I want you to be aware of that situation, and we should be getting some resolution on that pretty soon.
But if he goes forth with a development of mobile homes,
he should come and see you. I don't know how that's going to happen.
Is that where they cleared off that land?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, some of you saw some of that going on and said, you need to go check this. So, I mean, it had several Altus? Individuals.
Is that Altus doing that?
No, it's not. It's not okay. Altus. So, anyway, wanted to make you aware of that. So if you read it in the paper, matter of fact, there was an article in the Sunday paper. It's on the lower right-hand side of the newspaper. That is not. That's the Highway 160. So if you haven't read that, make sure you've done that. The project out here with Mr. McKagan and everything, there's an article in the current Branson Daily News and everything about, you know, the upcoming meeting on Wednesday night. So
you're just a troublemaker, aren't you?
I am. That's what I do. So that's all I have. Hope to see you next week.
It was better when you had a staff of inspectors and you could send them out, right?
Well, when we had a staff of inspectors, I was the one that got sent out.
Okay, this meeting is adjourned. Oh, I can't believe it. Squirrely.
Almost entertaining.
Squirrely.
Squirrely.
So what's going on in the world?
She wouldn't even take any help.
Elected Obama.